Take our hymn books once again and turn to 342. Psalm like to take your Bibles and turn to that, Psalm 100. We're looking at just verse 1 for today. Trust that if you don't already know it, you can learn it this week and we'll move on to verse 2 next Sunday. Psalm 100, verse 1, let's say it together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All right? I know, you want to keep going. Okay, let's do verse 1 one more time. It's rather short. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. All right, very good. Let's take our hymn books once again, and we'll turn to 691. 691.
Thank you.
be seated.
The world coming to an end yesterday. But you know what? This isn't the world's world. This is my Father's world, and it's not done until He's ready for it to be done. I'm going to sing that third verse one more time. It's a really pretty song. An old hymn, "This is my Father's world."
This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that, oh, the wrong seems oft so strong. God is the satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Amen. Let me say again, sure, it's good to be in church this morning. Amen. Amen. That's good. That's fabulous singing. Praise God for that. That was good. That was real good. My wife said to me before, she said, honey, I can't believe that you sang in Sunday school. And if anybody missed Sunday school, you missed the rarity. They weep when I sing, the angels. That's when it rains. Anytime it rains, you know Rev's singing. Oh, my. It's good to be here. Thank God for this place. I didn't know exactly what to expect when I was invited to come and preach. I do appreciate the invitation to come. It's an awesome responsibility. I've preached probably over 13,000 times since God called me into the ministry. We had a Christian school, so I got to preach every day to those students. And I got to preach Sunday morning, Sunday school, preaching service. We had two nursing homes in the afternoon, and that was my best because some folks couldn't hear anything I was saying. They just enjoyed it, and so forth and so on. So I'm honored to stand in this pulpit when I pondered the thought of coming here, knowing who has stood here. I say this sincerely, unworthy as I am, but with Christ, he can do some fabulous things. He can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. And I thank God for that. And I think most of us here today would say, thank God for that. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I am indebted to my brother for perpetually witnessing to me, telling me over and over again I needed to get born again. I got to my wife first. She got saved. She got to me. We were in our teenage years, and we weren't married yet. And I got saved, and then shortly thereafter, we got married, and shortly thereafter, we had some kids. I have three beautiful, fabulous daughters, and they have husbands, and I'm not saying anything about them. No, not really. My oldest girl married. He's now preaching. His daddy was a preacher. My middle girl, she married the son of a preacher, and he is also now preaching, Brother Charlie Clark. And then my baby, she married a missionary kid from Papua New Guinea, and they're serving the Lord down in Greenville, South Carolina. So I thank God for what he's done in our family. It's a great thing. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. Songwriter said it's a grand thing to follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere we go. It's a grand thing to be a soldier in his army here below. It's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. And I enjoy, I mentioned in Sunday school, the dialogue that we're having. Okay? I hope you recognize that when preaching is going on, it's not time to do your grocery shopping or plan how you're going to fix the fence or why isn't the lawnmower running? Why did it run? You know, whatever. I've sat where you sit, okay? And all I'm saying is you're doing an excellent job of communicating. Like you're interested in finding out something from the Word of God. You're interested in agreeing with the Word of God. We need to have a whole lot of church folks who are going like this. And that's encouraging to the man of God who stands behind the pulpit of God, preaching the Word of God to the people of God, that you're indicating, we're good. We're good. We're good. And some of you are sitting on your feet because somebody told you I'm going to step on your toes during preaching time. This is a good book, and it is good to have your toes stepped on every once in a while. We're pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. Still praying as we're onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. We have some seasoned saints here this morning. Thank God for you. Take what you have learned and acquired from the Word of God and spread it amongst the younger generations. We need that. We've been in a whole lot of churches here in the Northeast, and they're not like this place. Some of them are, but they're not all like this. If we could reproduce this, Ma, this would be exciting. If we could let the Northeast churches just meet and see the dynamics, hear the music, hear the singing, it's great. I think we need more churches like this one, okay? It's nice to have a large number of people in church. Amen? It's nice to have a small number of people in church. It's good to have a church that's on fire for God and being what God wants it to be. And I thank God for it. Like I said, I wasn't sure what to expect, but I'm certainly pleased with what we found here. And I appreciate that. Just the word of God will help us along the path. I wasn't born saved. I got born again in my junior year at North College of Engineering and finished out that schooling. And then I took a job as an engineer, and I worked for the state of New Jersey for maybe a year and a half or so, and God was convicting me about doing more with my life than designing bridges, roadways. And so one day, he got a hold of me real bad, and I told my boss, I'm quitting. I called my wife and told her I'm quitting. My boss didn't mind it nearly as much as my wife. You know, we just bought a new home, two new cars, so forth and so on. So I said, but we're going. Counseled with two preachers, two Baptist preachers. One said, best decision. The other one says, you're stupid. You'll be broke the rest of your life. He was right. But, you know, it's been good. It's been good. I've enjoyed every step of the way in serving the Lord. We've had 160 people thereabouts live with us for a week or longer. I mean, folks who had no place to stay. And we opened up our home. We called our home the Ranch. It was on almost 2 acres. For you, that's the postage stamp, but it was on 2 acres in Jersey, wooded land, so forth and so on. And it was thrilling to see God work in the lives of people. And some folks who were living in their cars and needed a place to stay, and we'd say, you can come stay with us. And they would come. I had one family, just came in my mind, but I had one family, and they had four kids, and they were in our Christian school, but they're short of money. And they were getting evicted from their home that they were renting. I said, well, listen, we've got six bedrooms in this house. We have triple bunks in the bedrooms. I said, well, why don't you and your family move in, and you don't have to pay us anything. We'll feed you, take care of all that, whatever. Keep your kids in our Christian school. And the daddy said, yeah, that sounds all right. Well, they came, and they were going to stay a couple months, save the money, put a down payment on things. Well, they stayed for a year. Ma and I lived in the basement, and they had some of the rooms on the first floor, plus I had teachers. Anyway, been an exciting trip. There's nothing like being a Christian. It just is. I could tell you story upon story of the thrilling things God's done and people that he's privileged us to see get born again. It's all about souls being saved. And then once you get saved, let somebody know that you're saved. Amen? Now, I've said along the way, if you're saved, tell somebody. Amen? And first on your list ought to be yourself. Tell your face. If you're a born-again Christian, tell your face. There ought to be just something different about you that people in the marketplace ought to catch you smiling. I'm going to heaven. Can't wait. Going to see Jesus. Can't wait. Heaven's so wonderful, bright and fair. Praise the Lord. We're going there. Be there forever. Why are you happy? I'm going to heaven. Amen? You don't have any illnesses? You're looking at a specimen of health. I think it's funny too. But anyway, this world needs to know that it's a grand thing to be a Christian. It's a good thing to be a Christian. It's a joy to be a Christian. It's no problem that we get to come to church. Amen? I thank God for the countenance that you folks came to church with. And we came to praise the Lord. In your Bibles, if you would, we'll go somewhere this morning in the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians, if you would, chapter 5. It's hard to start in the beginning of a book when I'm here for just a couple hours. So we're just going to jump into the end of the book. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you want to remember a thought, remember this. Hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 21. It simply says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. I like to be repetitive, especially this morning for me, to retain that idea. Hold fast to that which is good. I need to know what's good. When it comes to diets, I cannot advise you on what is good. For breakfast, every morning, 2 scrambled eggs. Isn't that good? And 2 chocolate cupcakes. Isn't that good? And a diet Snapple. Or a diet Pepsi. Isn't that good? I'm not going to advise you. Hold fast to that which is good. You may have a dietary opinion on what is good. I want to speak to us this morning on spiritually, because Paul says it here in this particular text. He gives us some idea of what's good, and we need to hold on to it. Talking with my brother earlier here this morning, and talking about what we let go concerning convictions that the Bible believers had 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Can you remember some? Can you remember some things we used to do? We got messed up. There was Sunday blue laws. Anybody remember Sunday blue laws? Uh-huh. The town that we lived near was called Ocean Grove in New Jersey. It was an old, Ocean Grove, amen. It was an old Methodist campground. And on Sunday, you couldn't drive your automobile. They would lock the entranceways in. They would chain them. Fire department had a key. First aid had a key. Police had a key. But you didn't have a key. And if your car was on the inside at 5 minutes after 12, your car stayed on the inside until 12 o'clock Monday morning, Sunday night. Because it was the Lord's day. Amen? You won't find it that way. Unfortunately, it has gone way down. The flag that you find flying there today in that campground meeting, sacred place of God, is the rainbow flag. I mean, it's totally given over to it. Somebody let go of the rope. Somebody let go of the rope. Hold fast to that which is good. If there was a well here and somebody fell down in that well, I'd find one of you brave men to go down in there. And I dare say, as you were going down there and we had a heavy rope, and you're going down and you get that little lad that fell down in the well, and you say, hold on to that rope. Don't let go of the rope as you're going down there to rescue this young person. We need to have some folks holding on to the rope. Some folks say, we're going to go back to the old ways. We're going to stay with the old ways. We're not going to change. You know, that's not easy anymore. Our culture has changed so drastically from what it was at one time in Ocean Grove to what it is today in Ocean Grove. Our church was about 8 miles from the ocean. I was visiting with an old-time Methodist lady, and I was in the home, and I was curious. She was familiar with Ocean Grove and all that. I said, Grandma, tell me, what was it like? She said, oh, we used to take a horse and buggy down to the beach. I said, Grandma, you went to the beach? Oh, yeah, we went to the beach. Now I was curious what kind of bathing attire. I said, Grandma, tell me, what did you wear when you went to the beach? She said, one word, compound word, but one word, everything. She meant everything. She meant the bonnet. She meant everything. We've come a long ways, have we not? Way back yonder, one marriage out of 100 wound up in divorce. Because when they went bathing, they wore everything. Can you see a correlation? Possible. We need to get back to the old-fashioned, the Bible way. Let a woman be, what, ordained in modest apparel? That's why Grandma Brindley, she wore everything. Are you still my friend? Every once in a while, you know, the smiles I saw a few minutes ago, I'm not seeing as much. Right? Should we move on to something else? In your Bibles, if you would, hold fast to that which is good. I'm on that rope going down to rescue that kid out of the well. I want you to hold fast. It's not time to take a break. You hold a fast. There are some things that we let slip through our hands that we wish we had back today. It's howdy doody time. Come on now. Somebody's got to remember it's howdy doody time. I remember my mom coming to the door and just standing on the block. And, you know, it's howdy doody time. And all the kids would come running. And howdy doody time at that particular point, I think, was worth watching. But the tube in the idiot boxes rapidly slid way down. Okay? It was easier to censor when you had three channels and some type of antenna someplace with aluminum foil around it. It was easier to censor, if you would, than it is today when you have 333 channels. What's happening? Somebody let go of the rope. Yeah, I'm standing here, and I feel like I'm on thin ice. And I don't know when it's going to crack. And I don't know when it's going to open up. And I go, boom, what happened to Rev? Well, he said something about, I'm not here to pick on you, believe me. I'm here to love you. All right? But we need to have places just like this who are still standing, singing like you've been singing, preaching like you've been preaching from this pulpit, to have a revival here in America. Let me make this statement. Make sure nobody pushes the button. I don't want to open up. What we need in America today is more sin. I will say that again and understand. You can write it down. What we need in America today is more sin. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and say how many agree with me or how many would disagree with me. But I don't know what in America is sin. Very few people will say that's sin. That girl, Williams, who plays tennis, she had a baby. Is that right? All right. You know what she said? She's going to wait a year to marry her husband or marry the guy who impregnated her. Nobody went, No. My daughter is not even going to know that name. Come on now. It was just like I will have cream in my tea or whatever, you know, just. Would you not concur or agree with me that there is a need for a revival? An awakening in this nation? Now, if we have an awakening, it might hurt. We might be singing, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Remember that from, you know, things I used to do, I don't, no, I'm singing again. Well, I don't do them anymore. We need to have that. But it's hard because we are kind of, I like my Sunday sports. Ouch. I love you. I hardly know you, but I love you. I've got grandkids. I have three, one in the womb, but two great grandkids. Two great granddaughters and a great grandson on the way. With today's technology, they know it's a boy. I want something decent for these kids to grow up in. Is not America spiritually, socially less today than it was when you were a kid growing up? Do you remember the shock? We don't shock anymore. The reason you got saved, we need more sin. The reason you got saved was because one day it dawned on you that you were a sinner and sinners go to hell. We recognize that we were sinners. May have taken a little convincing, may have taken a little preaching, may have took a little bit of pressure, whatever, somehow, some way. It dawned on you, I'm a sinner. And today we sin, just a sinner saved by grace. We need to go back to that. So for the next 45 minutes, I'm going to pick on you and tell you every sin I noticed since I walked in this place. Three of you laugh, the rest of you say, oh no, I hope he doesn't do that. No, I'm just... We do need to have some. Amen? I feel very comfortable in this place that you would tolerate some of what they call the old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preaching. Amen? And we need some of that. We need to stir it up just a little bit. And we need to be wanting to be stirred up just a little bit. Oliver B. Green was mentioned. We need some of that old-time preaching that would kind of mess a little bit with us. You're in 1 Thessalonians. I'm off my tirade, all right? Some of you said, whew, I can sit back and relax now. I love America. I don't love what she's become. I love our churches. But I don't like the compromise that I see in churches. Stay by the stuff. We don't need the new stuff. We might need a revamping of the old stuff. But the way this gentleman played that piano, the psalm that he sung, is what our churches need across this land. And not a performance, but a song sung from the heart. And a group of people who are not overly concerned about my spelling. I gave my set of notes to the gentleman sitting back yonder there. I'm worried he's going to look at it and correct my spelling. But anyway, not worried about so much the spelling as the content of what's being done. Here, we need to hold fast to that which is good. Don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of the rope. I took our teenagers on a boat out in the Atlantic Ocean. A chartered boat, fishing boat, whatever. There were about 25, 30 kids on that boat. I was up in the captain's quarters, whatever. He's got the radar going. He said, Rev, look at here. Here's a storm. And look at here. And Rev, they're coming together. They're coming together. They're coming together. He said, you better tell your kids, don't let go of that rope. He had a rope. Didn't have the pipe, but had a rope that went around the perimeter of the boat. And he said, make sure, tell them, don't let go. They're going to, and they did meet in a lightning's fashion and so forth and so on. And the kids wanted to stay up on board. It was kind of dumb to leave them staying up there. But they stayed up there. But they held on to the rope. Hold fast to that which is good. This church is good. Your singing is good. It's good. Hold fast to it. Don't let it change. Let's read some. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, we encourage you, we admonish you, we plead with you. Brethren, folks who have the same precious faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Warn them that are unruly. Amen. Comfort the feeble-minded. Amen. Support the weak. Amen. Be patient toward all men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless now. Give thy Holy Spirit to each person that's here in a special way for understanding. Anoint my lips anew and afresh that which is said from behind this sacred desk would only be pleasing to you. Lord, aforetime, I pray that if I say anything or have said anything this morning that ought not to have been said, please forgive me. And Lord, help us to hear what you want us to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. We don't get even with anybody. God is the one who will do the chastening. But ever follow that which is good. Follow that which is good. Over in verse 21, hold fast to that which is good. Now in verse 16, it says rejoice evermore. What does it say? Tell me. Ah, I got you. Here we go. That's what it says. Verse 16, say it again for me. Thank you. And verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. And verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And verse 19 says, quench not the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. Verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. Remember that when you're going home, hold fast to that which is good. When the idiot box is a temptation, hold fast to that which is good. And verse 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. If you go back to verse 16 down through verse 22 and you number them, you can come up with seven. And whenever a preacher sees seven, he says, okay, that's a message. That's something to preach. I'm going to go from verse to verse to verse. And there are seven thoughts that I would suggest today that we hold tight to, that we hold fast to, that you hold on to as those teenagers held on to that rope on that rocky boat. Hold fast to that which is good. That's what they Didn't have anybody, didn't need a preacher to tell them. They just said, I'm holding on to it. I'm holding on to it. It was a dangerous situation that we had right there. Going back to verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. We are happy people. Praise the Lord. And we love the Bible, God's own word. Remember, Satan had a hold of me. Jesus came and set me free by the blood of Calvary. Oh, praise the Lord. We're happy people. We're happy people. I was ministering to some deaf folks in Jersey City, and I got to talking about happiness, and you know, and I said, tell your face. And so they went like this, sign language. So every once in a while, when you stand behind this pulpit and you look at the congregation out there, I want to go. You're not deaf, but you got the idea. Tell your face. Tell your face. You know, it's good to have that testimony. Tell your face. Tell your face. It helps every once in a while. We were stopped for a bite to eat in the motorhome. We went in and sat down, ordered, ate, so forth and so on. And the waitress came over with the tab and it says, have a great day. I turned it over and said, have a great day. And she said, well, the young couple sitting across there, they saw your countenance. They saw your face. And they thought you were Christians. They saw you pray. And they wanted to pay for your meal. And I said, oh, man, I should have ordered that T-bone steak. Oh, if I had only known that. Oh. The same day, we were in a different place, in a different location, and somebody else paid for our meal. That doesn't happen very often. But if it happened more often, I'd be happier too. But anyway, all I'm saying is we have a countenance. Rejoicing. We are happy people, remember? Praise the Lord. And we love the Bible. God's own word. Satan had a hold of me. Jesus came and set me free. We're happy. So how can you be happy? You can recognize that I don't have a care. I don't have a problem in the world. I don't have any financial difficulties. My health is perfect. I preached. You know what the flesh-eating bacteria is? From there to where my shoelaces are. Had a heyday with my leg. 28 days in the hospital. Not knowing I was going to come out. All right now, it's me. Knock on wood goes this way. This is me. It's mine. Oh, you. Praise the Lord. We all have trials and tribulations. And we all have victories. Come on now. You are sitting here, 91 years of age. Amen. Unbelievable. We're sitting here, 41 years of age. Amen. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? Rejoice evermore. I don't want to tell you all my sad stories and all my problems and my heartaches. But I decided a long time ago, we're going to be happy. We're going to be happy. I don't know if the song is spiritual or not. I'm going to come stand over here. We may be ragged and funny, but we'll travel along singing a song side by side. All right? Why not? They say you use less muscles smiling than you do frowning. This world needs to see some happy Christians. Happy Christians. You going to work tomorrow? What did you do over the weekend? Hey, I went to church and you're not going to believe it. Somebody came from New Jersey and he preached and never got in place, but he just kept right on preaching and he kept preaching. Oh, I'll tell you, it was great. You ought to come to church next week. Somebody's got to tell somebody that something's happening in this place. Let me say that again. Somebody's got to tell somebody that something's happening in this place. This is a happening place. I am not saying that because I'm supposed to say that. I'm not saying that because one of the men told me, we're inviting you, but you got to say something nice about us. No. We walk into churches after churches after churches after churches, and rarely, I'm not saying we never, but rarely do we hear the content and quality of the singing that we heard today. You follow what I'm saying? When you've got something good, somebody else needs to know about it. Can you not think of somebody, your neighbor across the street, who would benefit from being in church and hearing the word of God and hearing somebody say, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. You'll get in trouble today if you smile at somebody. What's wrong with you? You know, why are you always happy? Why are you always rejoicing? Because God's been real good. And God is real good. And God will always be real good. We may have trials and tribulations, but we have the solution in the Lord Jesus Christ to those trials. And rejoice evermore. Mark it down, all right, when I ask you. Rejoicing is good. And that's what I want you to say. Can you say that? Remember that. Rejoicing is good because we're holding fast to that which is good. Verse number 17, pray without ceasing. You know what I'm going to say? Praying is good. Rejoicing is good. Praying is good because I'm going to hold fast to that which is good. Praying is good. Men, you are the prayer leaders in your home. You pray at the mealtime. You pray at bedtime. You put the kids into bed, you pray with them. It ought to be a natural phenomena. We have family devotions. Family devotions are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. My kids are learning from me all the time. All the time. I mean all the time. I was fortunate to be their pastor as well as their daddy. She was fortunate enough to be the pastor's wife and a school teacher and so forth and so on. But I'm saying to you today, we need to be praying. Our kids need to know that God answers prayer. Could you share a testimony how God has answered your prayer? Traveling up and down the roads in whatever state you're in, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New Hampshire, wherever it is, you better be praying. You better be praying. Pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 says this, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We got something to pray about? Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. It is being a Christian. It is being saved. It is on your way to heaven. Pray without ceasing. Wherever you're at, pray. Whenever, pray. Hold fast to that which is good. Do you know they took prayer and Bible reading out of the public schools? I'm of the strong opinion that it belongs in an educational institution. It needs to be where young people are being educated, wherever that may be. I went to a school called Belmar Grammar School. We had prayer. We had Bible reading. It wasn't done like it was done in the Baptist church, but it was there. It ain't there no more. Excuse the English, but it ain't there no more. And our country's rapidly sliding down. Saying one prayer, God is good, God is great, let us thank him for our food, will not redeem a nation, but it will keep the concept that there is a God before a nation. Don't be one of those restaurant prayers that when the food comes, you drop your napkin on the floor and on your way down to pick it up, Lord, bless the food, I thank you for it, amen. Nor do I think you ought to jump up on the table and say, every head bowed, every eye closed. But somewhere between, it may get you a free meal, remember? Somewhere in between, our nation needs to get back. And our nation is what I'm talking to this morning. Number one, we said rejoice evermore. Number two, we said pray without ceasing. Back in your Bible there, verse number 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Come on now. What are we grateful for today? There ought to be, not a written list necessarily, but we ought to be thankful. Thankful, thankful, thankful. People get upset if you're over thankful. It's hard to believe. Why are you saying thankful? Thankful. My little girl, I wanted her to be thankful. I wanted her to know how to express gratitude. And after school one day, I took her to, you wouldn't even know what the place is, Carvel. Anybody know Carvel? Ever hear of Carvel? Well, I was on Route 9 there in Jersey. And I took her to Carvel to get her an ice cream cone, vanilla, curled up, chocolate sprinkles. Man, it's great. So I got her one. She got in the car, and she took the first lick. And I reached over. She was sitting in the passenger seat. I reached over and took the ice cream cone. And I took a lick. Now, my lick was bigger than her lick. I didn't give it back to her. I just took another lick. I didn't give it back to her. I took another lick. I took another lick. And the best part is when the ice cream starts melting down into the cone, and the cone gets a little soggy because I've got borrowed teeth. I'm not going to return them. So never mind. So anyway, I finished the whole thing. And my daughter's sitting there. She knew why I ate the whole thing. She didn't say thank you. And I didn't give her another chance because they came days before, weeks before, months before. But you will never meet, I don't think you would, a lady, a mother, a wife, who is more filled with gratitude. Now, I'm not suggesting that's the way you teach your child. But I think, and what I've seen, we've told our kids too many times. How many times did I tell you? How many times did you? I can't count how many times I told you. No. Good, man. Look at all them sprinkles, chocolate too. Good. If you met my daughter and you gave her something, she'd probably write you a thank you note. I mean, just something small. She's learned gratitude. Her children have learned gratitude. She even has her husband trained to thank her. And that's a step, you know, in that direction. In everything, give thanks. We said number one, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Verse number 19, quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Rejoicing is good. Praying is good. Thanking is good. Let me say it this way. Obeying is good. Family members out here, you have a family, all right? And something happens with the children when they're not obeying and they're not doing. What happens to the spirit in the home? Who? It's broken. Okay. When the children are heeding and obeying, okay, when they're doing that, the spirit's not quenched. Everybody's happy. You got a great spirit in the home because we're all obeying. But when somebody left the milk out overnight and they put it back first thing in the morning and it turned on to your Cheerios and it was sour, something happens to the spirit. You may not have been the one youngster who did it, but all four or five of you are in trouble. You're don't go down, mommy's in a bad mood. Who put her in a bad mood? Don't quench the spirit. In the church, don't quench the spirit. Now, I could not discern, nor was I trying, but I could not discern that there was a bad spirit in here. That the folks on this side don't like the folks on that side. The folks on this side don't like the folks in the back. The folks over here don't like these folks. No. Don't quench the spirit. Not everything that's going to be done in the church, here, there, or elsewhere, but not everything that's going to be, are you going to agree with? You don't always think it's a great idea. Oh, that's a good idea. No, I don't think it's a good idea. If you don't think it's a good idea, make it a good idea. You don't have to quench the spirit. Well, I think that's dumb. You're not the brightest bulb in the pack anyway, so how would you know it was dumb or not? Quench not the spirit. Keep the spirit that I think is here in the Lord. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. Quench not the spirit. We said number one, rejoicing is good, praying is good, thanking is good, obeying or heeding is good. Quench not the spirit. Verse number 20. I like this. Despise not prophesying. Now, prophesying is a biblical word for preaching. It has to do with foretelling, but I mean, it deals with preaching. Despise not preaching. Don't get upset with preaching. He always picks on me. I don't know. Somebody must be telling him that I'm. We don't have little birds that come down. We don't have little messengers or anything else like that. But don't get upset with it. We need preaching. Let me say that again. We need preaching. We need Bible teaching. We need all of that. I use the word practicology. Practicology. That's the doctrine of practical Christian living. We don't want to despise preaching. Because here's what happens. I don't like it when people don't like me. And if I'm preaching and you don't like me because of something that I said as the preacher, I don't want to say it again, Ma. They didn't like it when I said it last time. And I didn't mean to make fun of their howdy doody. And they can't wait till church is over so they can go home and watch howdy doody. They don't like that kind of, despise not prophesy. We need to hear some stuff. We need to hear that the stores are not carrying alcoholic beverages anymore. One young lady mentioned to me about, or gentleman, somebody did, in between service, about, I can't shop any longer in this store because they now have alcohol. And I can't shop. I like the statement, I can't shop. I can't shop in this because now they have alcohol. Now they have beer. Now they have the booze. I can't shop there anymore. Well, then I'm thinking to myself, where are we going to shop? I got a solution. I'll send my son in there. My son's too young and he can't buy it. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. What are we going to do? It's now time, if it's not past time, but it's now time for the church of God to arise and say, we want America back. Amen? We want this nation back so we have liberty and opportunity to send missionaries home and abroad. Our freedoms are rapidly being eaten away at. And it's going to take churches just like this one to stand without apology for the old time gospel. Despise not preaching. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. That means when it's popular and when it's unpopular. When it's there and when it's not there. Out of season. Reprove. Ouch. Rebuke. Ouch. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You go to the doctor. You walk out there, out of the office. Well, I'm glad he didn't find one thing wrong with me. I want my money back. Why did we bother to go? He didn't find anything wrong with me. Well, it's nice to have a church where you can come and somebody might find something wrong with you. You like a doctor find something wrong with you. I was pleased when that doctor came and looked at my foot and he found something wrong with it because it was getting worse and worse and worse. It kept going, oh, here's what we're going to, you what? And so forth and so on. And we need that. We need that. I'm glad to see some of you smiling. Then there's a few of us who are afraid to smile. All right. Despise not prophesying. Number 6 on the list. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Verse 21. Prove all things. Is this good or is this not good? We stop proving things. Ladies, you ever go to the refrigerator and you're going to prove all things? You're going to discern what's good and what's not good? You know what happens if you don't do that? Remember we talked about the sour milk? We need to prove all things. Well, I don't know if there's real... Well, look at it and examine it. I was invited to an NFL football game. Tickets, free. Hypothetically, I wasn't. But if I was, I already decided I'm not going. They pay the football players so much that the team doesn't have any money left to buy clothes for the cheerleaders. So what am I supposed to do? Watch the football game with blinders? I ain't going. Oh, but I didn't go to the game to watch the cheerleaders. Fellas, I don't know how much red blood you have flowing through your body. If you can interpret that, extrapolate that, apply that. Your faces are very hard to read right now. And said, oh, who stole the cookie from the cookie jar? Not me. Prove all things. You go to that refrigerator, ladies. And I said to my wife, when in doubt, you know the rest of that? When in doubt, throw it out. When in doubt, throw it out. Fellas, when in doubt, throw it out. When in doubt, throw it out. Mom, when in doubt, throw it out. One of the most often asked questions by the young ladies, how does this outfit look? Ladies, if you can't decide how it looks, don't ask your husband, because he's going to lie to you. It's Sunday morning. We're already late for church. And she wants to know how it looks. You got to be kidding me. It looks great. Fabulous. It's only 4 inches too short and 6 inches too tight. Oh, it looks great. You want to start a feud? Ladies, it's hard to adorn yourself today unless you're a seamstress in modest apparel. I told you I had three girls. And every once in a while, they said, well, Daddy, I can't find you. Hush up, get in the car. But I can't get in the car. I'm sure you can find something modest for a teenage girl. We went to one store, to another store, to another store. I said, we're going to a thrift store. And if we go to a thrift store, we're going out there in Lancaster someplace. Or somehow, someplace, for whatever reason, people know how to put material in a dress. Prove all things. Daddy, you're the one who ought to check. Well, that's my wife's job. Well, Daddy, get involved in it. Let the women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel. Thank God. You've got a church that understands that and works to that end. Number one, we said rejoicing is good. Rejoicing is good. Praying is good. Thanking is good. Obeying is good. Preaching is good. Proving is good. And the last one, 22, abstain from all appearances of evil. Ouch. Abstain from all appearances of evil. We do not want to give the appearance of evil. Rev, yes? My husband, he's over at that bar, and I know he's been drinking. Can you go get him out? She's telling me he shouldn't be in there, and so forth and so on. I said, okay. I put the phone down, and this bar is right on the highway. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to go in front of this bar with the car that I was driving right then? Do you know Jaguars? Everybody in town knew that Rev was driving a Jaguar. Somebody gave it to me, tax-free, so forth and so on. I started praying, Lord, I really don't want to do that. So I get to the bar, and I look outside, and I look at all the cars. His car wasn't there. He had left already. God answered prayer. But I knew this Bible verse. That was Saturday. I might have been preaching it on Sunday. But no, you know, abstain from all appearances of evil. I don't know what in your culture, your little circle, might appear to be evil. I'm just looking at you. I'm thinking, peace. Ma, start that motorhome so when I make this last statement, I can run right out that door and get in it before these folks hang me. I don't know what might be, but there are some things in one part of the country are not as bad as in another part of the country. I've seen kids play with dominoes. All I know to do with dominoes is to stick them up, stand them up, another one next to it, go around and go around and go around and around. That's all dominoes. That's all I know about dominoes. They're black with little white spots on them, but that's all I know what to do with them. How many agree with me? That's all we know what to do with them. Amen? I don't think for you to have that domino is going to be a transgression. But when you do whatever else they do with those dominoes, which may come in the form of gambling or something else like that, then you don't want them. You don't want them. Playing cards. When in doubt, what? Throw it out. You can get from birth to the grave without dominoes. Ouch. You can get from birth without, when in doubt, throw it out. We need a Christian culture escalation. We need to go up just a little bit. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. You know that little chorus. Songs I used to sing, I don't sing them anymore. Yeah, but that was my favorite. Oh, I can remember that when I was 21. Oh, 18. I can remember when I turned 15. Sweet 16. Oh, my. It brings back fond memories of sin. The memories that it generates is not of God. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I don't know what you might have to abstain from. I threw a few things out here. But the Bible says abstain from it. Make sure people know what you're doing. Not for show. Oh, no. You got the wrong idea. Not for show. But because this might associate me with something I don't want to be associated with. We kept horses, ponies at the ranch that we had. But we never raced them. And I'm not going to get rid of my horse. I don't have them now. But anyway, because people race horses. People also ride them for sport, for fun, for enjoyment. So if you have dominoes at home and you set them up with your kids and see how far you can go and up at the hill and down the hill and around the bend, praise God. Pray before you play them. But just go ahead and, you know, that's I'm not the one you have to answer to anything. But I'm just trying to say, abstain from all appearances of evil. It's hard to live in our culture that way. Well, I'm about out of time. A long time ago. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. Hold fast. You've got a lot of good things. Hold fast to it. We gave you 7 right here. The Apostle Paul gave them to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a few moments together with the saints. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit. I thank you for the love that they manifest for you. A heart's desire to live a life that would be pleasing to you. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand biblical principles that would be manifested in our life so that others might see the joy of the Lord, and that joy is our strength. Lord, your hand of protection be upon this place. Lord, keep each and every one of the members, folks in fellowship here, in the center of your perfect will. May many things be done in the days that lie ahead. Precious souls be saved, Christians to mature and grow, a nation to be turned to the right. May this body of believers, may this assembly here be used in a mighty way as they have been in days past, presently being used in the days that lie ahead. Accomplish your will. We give you now the praise. We give you now the honor. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In church, when the preacher's all done, there's a transition. I've sat where you sat. And it's hard for the preacher to keep where we just were to where we are right now. You all understand what I'm talking about? I mean, when he says that final amen, it's like, phew, let me put my Bible away. Let me make sure. Make sure I got the keys to the car. I'm going to beat everybody else out there because where we're going, you know. This is called like an invitation time. We're not talking about an old-fashioned altar per se. But it's something maybe that you heard, something that maybe bothered you a little bit. I anticipated that I might bother some of you a little bit. I anticipated I might bother some of you a whole lot. And my anticipation I may bother some are going to cause me, while we pray again, to leave. That's a joke. Some of you are wishing I did. We need to have an awakening in America. And you hold the lamp where people are going to be looking and saying, hey, I hear too many people say, it can't be done. I wish I had my camera and say, it's being done. It's being done. Don't tell me it can't be done. It's being done. And we need to keep this strong as it's been strong. Well, if you have a decision or a thought you want to pray about, you can come and kneel down here, pray in the seat. Somebody's going to come and play the piano. And we'll give you a couple minutes to pray, and then he's going to close in a hymn. Okay? So you can play through that, and then you can come and lead it. Okay? Let him pray for a minute or two.
Take our hymn books, turn to 507. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so?